Welcome back to Trot's Life. Toby McKinnon with you and joined by Mark Thompson. And charge your glasses because I think it's toast time. How are you, Mark?
Toby, yep.
Did you get my little reference to toast time then?
Yeah,
Karamita toast time
a long time ago, yep.
Yeah, what a horse. When I started doing my research, what a broodmare she was.
Yeah, no, she did a good job for it. Like, she wasn't the most attractive-looking animal, but she helped us out a fair bit,
Certainly did. Now, I do want to go back to about that time she was born, actually, and what got you training horses?
What got me training horses?
Yeah, what was the lead-in?
I had an uncle that had horses, so when he used to go away on holidays, I used to just jog them for him, yeah.
Who was that?
And, Alec Thompson. He had a couple of nice horses. Like, he had a horse called Swift City, who was a metropolitan horse, and a real good trotter called, what was his friggin' name? Chestnut Trotter Boy. I remember his sire only left two winners. He's a French stallion, Candoref, I think the stallion was.
Yeah.
And only left two winners. One was a trotter and one was a pacer. And we were lucky enough to get the good trotter. Leslie Orman was the trotter's name. That's a long time ago. Like, that's when I was a kid, which is a long time ago.
Leslie Orman raced in the 80s for 18 wins from 16 wins from 52 starts. So he was a very good trotter.
There was another nice trotter around at the same time called True Roman, which was a bit nicer, if you know what I mean, you know?
And I would imagine you were pretty good mates with Graeme Johansson. There was a few horses left and went over to South Australia from your place.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I got on really well with Graeme right up until, the end, which wasn't that long ago. He taught me a hell of a lot about, the caper.
Okay. And the first horse you had was a horse called Evil Lass, which was going back a little ways.
Yeah, you've certainly delved into the deep, dark archives there. I think we might have won one or two races with Evil Lass, but she was pretty aptly named and not much good. You've got to start somewhere, haven't you?
You do, and your first decent horse, you'd say, would be Martin's Tribute, who won as a two-year-old, which is something you're not too unfamiliar with. You seem to get him up and running as two-year-olds, and he was your second horse. You got to the races and he won as a two-year-old. He went to Moonee Valley, he won at Moonee Valley, and really got you rolling in the sport.
Yeah, he had a bit of tendon trouble, but he was the first decent horse I had. Yeah, which was it? Yeah, I had a mare before, actually, that was like a nice little mare. The first one I started with was a mare called Fair Majority. And she did a bit of racing with Liam McCallum. I don't know if I hadn't started training them, but I owned her and she'd been all right. But Martin's Tribute was her offspring, and he was a nice horse. If I had known a little bit more, I might have been able to help him out a bit more than I did.
I've picked a few little ones out here. Do you remember who won the 1998 Kyabram Cup?
Order Caramy.
Was that a highlight? Yeah. Was that a big win at the time?
I can tell you what, there was two bookmakers there that day, and they took a lot of money on. There was Order Caramy, and the horse that ran second was they backed it every time our blokes had a dip. The other blokes had a dip, and I think they all got about 3-1 about Order Caramy. So it might have only been the Kyabram Cup, but it was a pretty big day, actually. Yeah, and it was at Kyabram in those days.
Yeah.
And Maxie Wishart drove it, and the second last carry strap, I mustn't have put it in the crupper properly, and he came out and it was swinging around the back leg, and I wonder why Maxie Wishart got his head looking at either side, and he came back and said, I didn't think it'd go under her legs. So I'm glad he kept going because there's a fair bit of money running on her, I could tell you. It wasn't any of mine, I don't bet, but the other fellas were pretty happy,
So the second horse was Luna Nukes for Ken Covington, or Swift Odds for Alan Waitman. It was a good bet,
right? I think it was, and there was two bookmakers, and they just took,
bet, yeah.
I know one bloke, like had, you know, like $700 or $800 on our horse at 3-1, you know, like, and they just kept taking it, you know, like, and I just looked and I thought, holy Christ, you know. Yeah, and like put a bit of pressure on, like, I went over for a social Sunday outing and like it turned into a bit of pressure at the time, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it would have, mate. So that would have been well celebrated, that win then.
Yeah. I think we sort of, like, they came back before they, most of them came from back as fast. Yeah, they all came back to home and at Rochester and had a few beers. Oh, no, I think we were still at, over near Raywood then. So, yeah, they came back and had a few beers before they went home, for sure.
Yeah. Very good. I love those memories. I know you've won a lot of big races, but sometimes there's a race like that that just stands out and it's a great story. I can't not ask about Jada Rose, and I think I read somewhere on all my prep that you bought her for $3,600. Is that right?
Yeah, 32 or 36. Yeah. And that was, we went out to buy. We went to the yearling sales then. Like it was a bit of a bugger because we thought we knew what we were doing, but we really didn't. So we went to buy. We had a horse called Ian Albert who'd won 5 in a row. So we went to buy his half brother. Mm. And we thought we had between the group, we thought we had 14 or 15 grand, but we didn't. We probably didn't, but we thought we did. And so we went out to buy him, what was his name? Open Land. He was a nice horse, but he had leg trouble too. Mm. And so I went and had a look at him, and I thought, nah, we haven't got enough money to buy this bloke. And one of the blokes in the thing was, he started to sook up a bit, and this little thing came in. It was stuck on $1,400. And I thought, we've got enough money to buy. And it was by Totally Ruthless, and I had a nice mare called Ought to Be Ruthless at the time.
Yeah.
And I thought, this will do to shut him up. So we brought it for $3,600. The rest is history, I suppose. And Open Land, like, ended up being a nice, like we end up putting him in a claim. His temperament didn't match my temperament. We were both bad tempered, so it just didn't get along. We got rid of him and you know, Jada Rose was just, you know, like, yeah, she was just, yeah, unbelievable, you know, buddy, yeah. We were very lucky to have anything to do with her, you know, yeah.
Yeah, she was. She won, 14 of her first 16 and Vic Breds and et cetera. Is there one of those races that really stood out with her?
Oh, well, I think, like, the first Vic Bred, like, final was, like, until you win a Group One, like you sort of more worry about, you more worry about, you know, like winning one. And once I got that worry off my mind, it was a bit easier from then on in the bigger races. You know, like,
yeah,
not that, you know, like, the always a bit nervous. Yeah,
the monkey off the back, in a way, I suppose.
Yeah. I'd got rid of that, so that was very good. You know, so yeah. So you know, like, yeah, she was a great horse to us, you know, like, and I was lucky to be associated with her, you know, like, it was a good run. We were lucky to have one like her.
Did you sell her to America or send her to America?
No, we sent her to America. Yeah. Which was pretty ambitious at the time. We must have had some money in the bank. we sent her to America cause she was a bad bleeder. We sent her to America and she only had half a dozen starts over there and probably, like, she won 4 of them, I think, but the night she ran third to My Little Dragon and Southwind Tempo, I think, which had both won $2 million, and Walsh, he was trainer over there, and he rang me up and he said, I finally got the opportunity to tell Tim Petricks how to drive. He said, because Tim Petricks said if he had pulled out at the top of the straight, he probably would have beaten him. But he said, I've never been able to say it to him. He said, but I said, listen, if you stick with her, she might teach you something. So that was a pretty good thing to happen, you know? Yeah.
That would have helped with that connection. That is for sure. And of course, I can't go through a chat without mentioning her prodigal son in Guaranteed, who, well, he raced 46 times and 27 of them were in group races, which is an amazing stat in itself. He won 24 of his 46, but he basically just raced at the absolute top echelon his whole life.
He was a great horse. And he's done a pretty fair job at stud for the opportunity he's had. So, hopefully he gets a little bit more life there. And you know, like, but like, we've got like Pars guaranteed out of him. Like, most of the ones I've bred by him have all won, you know. So, like, and Pars are like a pretty nice horse, I think, you know. Yeah.
Where do some of his wins stack up with the whole, you know, having bred both the stallion and the mare? That is just the next level of special, if you ask me.
Yeah, I suppose it. Yeah, it is. The other thing is, it was like you don't experience the same pressures when you're training them yourself. So that, like, they were always at Clayton. He was always at Clayton and Emma's.
Yeah.
So, like, we just wandered down and whatever happened, and, you know, like, that was, you know, like, so there was no sort of, you know, like, bad dreams or nightmares about it. So, yeah, you know, like, it was probably easier than racing Jada Rose, really, to tell you the truth, you know?
So, Bars guarantees a pretty good horse to reference because he's out of a mare called Dying Secret, and he's got an older sister, Dying Art, and the first foal's not gone and forgotten either. So tell us a bit about Dying Art, who started racing as a 7-year-old this year.
Like she's out of Dying Secret, who's out of Secret Bonus, which Ronnie Pocock and Graham Johansson are probably the two biggest influencers on like my career as a trainer, you know.
Yeah.
Not that I'm as good as either of them, but they taught me. They taught me all I know, probably not all they knew. I brought Secret Bonus off Ronnie, and she did a great job for me. Dying Secret, I think, I looked at it the other night, I think she only had 16 starts for 9 wins, 4 seconds and a third, and broke down. And then she bred, like, Dying Art, she bred the little filly first, who did a nice job, had plenty of speed. And then we got Dying Art, and she was pretty bloody, like, cantankerous as a yearling when we broke her in. So I sent her up to Denny Oliver's up at Tuca. He's a galloping man. He had the nice big heavy cart with brakes and all that sort of stuff. So we calmed her down a bit, and then we got her going a bit, and she started to show a bit of speed. So I thought, geez, you know, this thing. So I named her, but, like, that was as far as it got. She broke down, and they said, oh, look, it's a tendon, whatever. And so I just put her in the paddock, and then the next year she was in the paddock, and we were joining a few mares. I thought, oh, she might as well be doing something. So yeah. I got her in foal, and then I don't think I tried to get her in foal again. You know, like, no. Yeah, last year I sold, like, 3 young horses, you know, like, that we'd been racing. We sold them, and I was... And then Mr. Truth and Pa went to Sydney, so I thought, I haven't got much to do. So I thought, she's, this little fat thing was sitting in the paddock, so I took her on as a project. And, I know how, like, you know, carrying a bit of conditions like, and she sweated a long time before she actually started to get going. But, like, yeah, she hasn't missed a beat, really. The first second was probably trainer error, not driver, like, not anyone else's fault. I didn't have a head check on her, and I let a couple of holes in the hobbles and took her to Swan Hill, and she half cantered and whatever, but got home real good. And then we put a head check on and tightened up some hobbles, and the rest of her starts have all been pretty good.
And funnily enough, it was Naya where Secret Bonus had the one start for you, and Swan Hill's just basically what Naya was. So there's a bit of coincidence there.
Yeah. Well, we were lucky because she had the one start for me, and then I was training her, and we'd drawn good somewhere. I had her entered somewhere, and she'd drawn good.
Mm-hmm.
She was a big mare, but didn't want to find the line quite as much as you would hope. She ended up she broke a leg in it. Like, I was working her, and she snapped a leg while I was working her. So, like, it was a pretty big decision whether we, you know, like, put her down or we got a leg splinted. So we decided we'd get a, you know, like, take her to the vet. And she got sent, so she never raced after that, obviously, and just bred from there. And she repaid me with her breeding. Like, she left a few nights, you know.
Presidential Secret, well, and we've mentioned a fair few of them. So Dying Art goes up to Sydney. What's the motivation for sending them up to Sydney? You just think she was suited up there with some of the others, opportunities?
Well, Well, I looked at it, like, I'm not a fan of the rating system, I reckon. You know, like, in the old days, she'd be a C4. You know, she wouldn't have even gone to town by now, would she? In the old you know, like, if you won a CO, C1, 2, 3, 4. Nowadays, like, if you have a nice horse, they get through their classes too fast. And, like, I was looking, and I already had the two horses in Sydney, and I was looking at Wagga, because, like, Wagga, you know, like, you get your mares, you know, you can get your mares, you know, come back and you can get your, you know, junior driver claim. And there was that Go Girlfriend's heat, you know, like, and like, look, throw at the stumps, like, she's only had, you know, she'd only had three starts till then. So I took her to Wagga. Cameron Hart said he'd come down and drive her, because he's connected with Elchins in Sydney for us. And we, you know, so he came down and drove her, and yeah, she won there. And if she was to go good, she was to go on that night up to Jared's. And so we, Jackson Painting put her on a float after the second last race, and she went to Sydney and I came home.
And then you beat him. You beat him in the final. He had all Gooder in it, I reckon, from memory.
Yeah. But he'd also told me that he wasn't going to Wagga if his Mary was going to Bathurst instead of coming. Like, he'd watched ours have a couple of starts, you know. So
yeah,
that was look, you know, like, as I say, like, she's in again on Saturday night. And that's the other thing too. They have mares races every week, you know, like. We don't have mares races every week. And you're racing for $20,000 as against probably 15, you know. It just made a lot of sense, you know. Like, and you know, like, when you've had a tendon, like, not that she's had any trouble, shown any signs of it, you know, like, you wonder how long you're going to last. But, you know, you know, like, hopefully she lasts a bit longer and we win a little bit more, you know. Yeah.
I've got one more day to ask you about. 2013 Birchip Cup Day.
2007. Holy shit. Who won it?
Well, you had a treble on the day. Time Seal, Presidential Secret, and Dying Secret all won on the day. Yep. It was so, at Charlton. It would have been Birchip at Charlton.
I was pretty lucky to have those three horses that could qualify for races at Birchip on the same day. Yeah. It wasn't that I was Buck Cummings. I think the horses all had a bit on, you know, like, on them that day, you know?
Give yourself some credit, Mark. You've come from a small trainer, and you've got a wonderful strike rate, particularly with young horses, and turns out 7-year-olds as well.
Well, look, like, when you've only got a few, you've got to try and make the most of them. And, like, and we're lucky, like, most of them we either own or, I own with it, you know, like, all, they're owned by a couple of close mates. If they don't cut the mustard, we just get rid of them. Like, you know, like, there's no point, you know, like, it's too hard to win races nowadays, so there's no point mucking around with just horses, you know, like, and old Ronnie Pocock always told me, he said, for the 100 you sack, he said, the three mistakes you made, he said, you're more than pay for it with the feed you saved on the 97 you didn't, you know? So, that's what I try and do, and just keep working through them. And I've got, I think, 6 2-year-olds this year, so, like, it's just a matter of, you know, we work through them. Like, years ago, like I'd always send them down to, like, Merv Dillon's, you know, like, and he could work them with other horses, you know, because, like, if you took a 2-year-old that had only been worked on its own and you took it to the trials, like, the first two times, they were pretty scared and frigging didn't do their best. But if you took them down there, worked them with them and whatever, you know, it was, they just learned so much. And now, like, Toddy Matthews is at Bendigo and he takes them and you know, like, and they learn to sit in, you know, right, you know, dash up and whatever. And, I think you've got to do those sort of things. So that's what I do. And hopefully we can keep finding, you know, like, a nice little horse. And this one, like, well, she was, like, my wife told me that I was, like, it wasn't the smartest move I had ever done when I grabbed her out of the paddock. And
the horse, and the horse she's talking about?
Yeah, the horse, yeah. probably not the smartest thing she's ever done, marrying me either. But anyway, we brought the little fat horse up and she just looked. She said, you know how old that is? And I said, nah, it's only 5 or 6. But she told told me 7 or 8, so she was obviously closer to the truth than I was. But yeah, look, you know, and it's great fun, and it's, a lot of people had a laugh about it. But you know, like, hopefully she can have a few more wins, and you know, like, and we find another one somewhere down the track.
Yeah, well, you might have missed the truth, but when they score up behind the mobile, she doesn't know how old she is. She doesn't know how old all the others are, and maybe every horse has done that in her mind. So, yeah, you know, it doesn't really matter, does it?
The poor little bugger, like, when she gets into the, because she, like the other night, I think, was the 8th time she's been off the farm, you know, like,
yeah.
And Jared Elchin said, like, she said, like, when you get her in the shed and she's surrounded by all the other horses, she just gives it to it. You know, like, and just starts bucking and rare. And, like, the night at Shepherd, and it was a warm night, and, like, I put a gear on, it was nearly sliding off her, and I thought, holy shit, you know, this thing's ran its race. But it went out and won by 25 or 30, you know, and you think, oh, freaking hell, like, it's you know, like, it's, I think all with our breed now, like, most of them have got speed, but... like, it's just how much, like, intestinal fortitude they got, where I think she's got a bit of that, which will keep her in pretty good stead for a while yet, I'd say, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, very good. Mate, there's a lot of luck in harness racing, but we do make a bit of it ourselves, and you've had a lot of luck and obviously got taught pretty well by a couple of astute gentlemen in Johansson and Pocock. Graham sadly missed, of course, but, mate...
If you knew both of them, if you didn't listen, it was you got it drilled into you pretty hard, I can tell you.
I knew Graham, but yeah, didn't know Ronnie, but yeah, Graham. Yeah,
well, Ronnie was fairly much like Graham. You know, like, if he told you once and you didn't listen, he didn't tell you again.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. They were just that sort of people. You know, and they were good people, like good operators, smart people. And you know, like, and yeah, and like, yeah, I owe most of, as I said, they probably taught me everything I know, but they probably knew a fair bit more than me as well on top of that. But, you know, like, it's, yeah, you know, like, I owe them a lot.
21 minutes this has gone for. It goes quick, doesn't it?
It does. I better get back to work.
You go back to work. Mark, thanks so much for joining us, mate, and sharing a few stories.
No worries. Thank you.